Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the pro wrestling quiz show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hey there, Thunder Buddies and travelers down Thunder Road. It's us, Days of Thunder, the WCW Thunder Rewatch podcast that you didn't ask for, but we did anyway, coming to you as part of the Voices of Wrestling podcast network and powered by alargemanappears.com. I'm your host, your conquistador upon Thunder Road, Dave Ryan, and I'm joined, as I am every week, by a faithful co-host, Stagger Lee Malone. And Lee, as they say, as the great philosopher once said, it's been a while.
It has been a while. Yeah, it's been a real cursed journey to get to this point.
Like, people who have been following the show for a long time know that the only thing we hate more than World Championship Wrestling sometimes is when we miss a show release window. Like, 9 times out of 10, 4 p.m. GMT on a Thursday, you're getting some content from your Thunder Boys. So for us to miss it by not just days, but a whole week, infuriating.
I was so mad. And not even at either one of us. It was just like, we just couldn't schedule anything.
It was one of those circumstances conspired. Mm-hmm. I was unwell one of the nights. Then I was work, blah. And then you have been work, blah, as well. And you also being a father.
Yes.
Blah.
I also had a other podcast appearance that I had scheduled in.
Yeah, fucking big timed me.
Makes a change.
Oh, sorry, Dave. Can't do it. Fucking Gagne's calling.
Well,
okay.
Dave Ryan, Joe Gagne.
Look, do you know what? I drop you in a hot second for Joe Gagne. I'm not going to lie. Joe, if you want to host a podcast about Thunder, hit me up, buddy.
Because Joe Gagne probably would.
Yeah, he would. Yeah. The only person who would answer that call quicker is probably Aaron.
That is true. But yeah, no, this has been quite the journey to get here for this podcast.
It's funny because, like, usually when we miss, it's like a really inconsequential Thunder, but like, this is the most like historically significant Thunder ages.
I wouldn't mind. So excited to watch and talk about the show.
It was the rare time where like I actually really want to talk about this show and not just to bury it.
It seems like weeks ago now. At this point, you put on the show and went, "Oh my god, it's the Thunder."
Yes, it's this one. It's this one. We'll get into it in a couple of minutes because we don't have, frankly, that much preamble this week. One thing I do want to make note of, Lee, is that for people who have been around the Days of Thunder Parish for a while, you'll know that the weekend of a Big Four or an AEW pay-per-view, we usually do a little live stream, sir, that we call the pre-show. And this weekend is no exception.
Yes, Revolution this Saturday, I believe. Yes, we will have a pre show on YouTube.
I hate to break it to you. I think it's Sunday.
Get the fuck.
I'm pretty sure Revolution is March 5th.
Ooh, okay. This Sunday.
Sunday.
Actually, you know what? That might actually work out better for me.
Yeah, March 5th. Well, look, this is the thing. It's like we've committed to this fucking thing now, so it really doesn't matter if it works well for either one of us. We're fucking doing it.
So yeah, we'll have the pre show live on YouTube. We will tweet out the link. Put the link in our Discord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You will all get the, if you are following us on Twitter, if you're following us on the Discord, if you are a Patreon subscriber, you will get the link to our pre-show. Granted, comments and questions and things like that, we're going to take first preference to our patrons who are in the chat on some platform. But yeah, they're usually a fun time, these pre-shows, Lee. We hang out for about an hour before the 0 hour show starts, and we talk about what snacks we've got for the pay-per-view. We evaluate other people's snacks. We run down the card, do our predictions, and I don't know, just answer questions, chat shit, hang out with the guys. I've really enjoyed them so far. I think we've done four, maybe.
To build up to the show itself, and because there's nothing worse when you're sitting around waiting for something to start. So what better way to do it than to sit around with us?
Yeah, hopefully it's going to be like a less stressful live stream, because I was having computer issues like the whole week leading up to the Rumble live stream and only fixed them on the night. So like there was a greater than 0% chance I was going to have to bail or call in on my phone to that live stream, which would have been a fucking disaster. But we're here. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to Revolution, but we will talk more about that on the night, I guess. I wanted to give you an opportunity, Lee. I don't know if you've seen the match, but considering you're a noted fan of him here on the program, we finally have the possibly for now, maybe only for a couple of weeks, final bye-bye. Muta is retired, sort of, kind of. I don't really believe it.
He's retired until he gets offered another bag. I haven't seen the match yet. Just the like I said, the week that's been in it, I just haven't got around to watching it. I will eventually. Look.
Did you watch the Sting and Darby match? No,
again, I just haven't got around to it.
No. Bye-bye.
I will sit down and do a great Muta bye-bye rewatch. Look, I don't believe this is it. I think he'll still come back at some point, because what wrestler ever retires? Great Muta was, like, to me, one of the coolest wrestlers of all time. I've talked about this a lot on the show. And I think it was him absolutely doing one last work, if that's what you want to call it, by getting in there with Chono after his own match.
Yeah.
Typical KG Muta stuff, but...
Typical of the man.
But look, what can you do?
Carney.
And hey, look, New Japan got their own show on Noah's dime, so good on them.
Yeah, true. The other thing I want to mention beforehand, something that will probably, I don't know if we'll do a pre-show for this, or I'm thinking we just do a pre-show for the whole weekend, but I know you're kind of not as chronically online as me anymore, but have you seen much of the card shaping up for Supercard of Honor?
I have.
Yeah, we've got three matches that I have circled in the calendar. They are finally doing the thing, that being Eddie Kingston versus Claudio.
We're just giving away spoilers now, are we?
Yeah. Screw it. Like, it was all over the internet. I'm going to make a massive assumption here, Lee. If you are listening to a podcast about WCW Thunder, you're pretty online. I don't think this is going to be a great spoiler. It looks like Mark Briscoe, Samoa Joe. Excellent. And the challenge hasn't been answered, but your boy Wheeler Yuta has called out Katsuyori Shibata. Which is like, this is now just the gimmick. It's like Shibata is under contract in New Japan, but will wrestle anywhere but New Japan.
Big Utes making the big challenge. Look, three awesome matches. And that's only like the beginning of the cards taking shape.
Yeah. Very excited. I actually just reading the tapings, I'm like, oh, I could get into this new Ring of Honor now. Could I get into it to pay for Honor Club level of get into it? Doubtful at this point.
do you know what you should do? Like, though? You should start an ROH podcast on VOW with Mark.
Yeah, no, it'd go hugely well. look at you, fucking stirring that pot.
He's never gonna listen.
Fucking Rich Craig's listening to this. He slammed on the fucking brakes of his car. You know what?
He's not returning that call.
But am I at the point of subscribing to Honor Club now? But am I somebody that like would see immense value in if and when they figure out some sort of combined price to give me my AEW and my Ring of Honor? I would very much like that.
I know somebody that's subscribed to Honor Club at the moment, so.
Oh, yes? Interesting. Interesting to me. We shall parlay, my friend. Shall we get into this, Thunder? Without further ado, this is Thunder episode 66 from Syracuse, New York. Getting, like, so high up above the Mason-Dixon line, they're getting a nosebleed here. I'm not used to them being up in fucking New York State.
Get used to it. Russo's coming.
Oh, goddamn, man. I can't wait to hear that fucking Iron Man ripoff in a few months.
You're going to hear a ripoff of the Iron Man ripoff.
Yeah, actually, no, we're going to have several like weeks of just people saying the powers that be a lot, and then Iron Man.
It'll be the old BT bit, you know, with the hands just on the screen.
Yeah. We've got, we're here on the 10th of June, 1999, almost smack bang halfway through the year. This show got a 3.1 rating. We're noticing that they're kind of settling around the low threes now at this point, which has got to be fun for them. Something I want to ask before we open this show is that we've had a lot of change around WCW lately, where the Nitro set has changed once. The company's logo has changed. Several elements of presentation have changed, but to me, I'm starting to feel the creak in Thunder is the one thing that is just like, I mean, it's good to have a constant, I guess, but like, not so much the set, but I think like that the fact that the opening video hasn't changed.
Yeah. It's like even Saturday night is now a rave.
Yeah, I don't know about that. That's the change I'm the most skeptical
don't
of.
Think I think Jimmy Hart's a rave guy in 1999.
Jimmy Hart's Disco Biscuits. Oh, who's to say?
But yeah, no, I agree with you. It's very much the forgotten about part of WCW at this point.
Yeah, if you didn't think they didn't give a fuck about what happened on Thunder beforehand, this is your proof positive. Like, again, I like the set. I think the set's fine. I don't think you necessarily need to change it, but just the video has been the same since the first
episode.
But I do
think if you're going to revamp everything else within the company, you kind of have to make that investment and say, you know what, let's change it up.
I'm trying to remember if there is a major revision of it before they just go to the fucking lazy ass death rattle. Yeah, the where it's trim. Just the fucking big ass Tron, slightly different lighting.
I don't think so. I think they do kind of intermittent weeks where sometimes it's just its own standalone Thunder taping, and then other times it's just the Nitro set.
Here's another thing. Did you happen to catch, Lee, that this Sunday Kevin Nash is wrestling Randy Savage?
You don't say.
There's like a delicate balancing act to promoting a main event for a pay-per-view, and I feel like they've fucking beaten us to death with this match. And I think the reason for it is like, so if this was like, let's go back a few months and say Paige and Goldberg at Halloween Havoc, if that's a match that you're promoting, you're like, right, okay, well, that's like a significant match. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the two big baby faces in the company, first time match, everyone's excited. I don't know. I have no energy in me for Nash versus Savage.
I can see why they're pushing it as a big match. I like, you think about it, they've both been in the NWO since March 97, I think, was when Savage joined. So they haven't faced off in a 1v1 since at least that time.
I think someone on this show says,
and
they
it's
never
quite
have.
Possible that they never have. Like, obviously, they were on opposite sides in many tag matches and stuff like that. Famously, the Hostile Takeover match, yeah. And but yeah, even throughout the Black and White Wolfpack split, Savage was instantly with Nash, and it was always Nash and Savage yeah. versus Hogan and Hall.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see how they would think this could be a rating straw or a big draw on pay-per-view, get a buy rate.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, mm-hmm. it's not peak Macho Man, and Kevin Nash as a character has been very up and down throughout 1999. He was heel, he was face.
Yeah. Oh. So they had a stretch of doing house okay. show singles matches in 94. When Diesel was Intercontinental okay. Champion. Including one where Randy Savage beat him by DQ in San Antonio. But yeah, since they came to WCW, there's been a couple of multi-man matches, the Hostile Takeover match, as you said, couple of tags, and yeah, this is the first televised singles match between the two of them, which like should feel like, and I think even if you did this 2 years earlier, mm-hmm. would feel like a bigger deal, because I think even the crowd now, like the crowd are into the out of control Savage bit, but I feel like when it comes to him actually wrestling, even the 1999 fans have sussed that like there's no gas yeah. left in the tank.
Like his DDP feud in 97 really felt like the end of Savage as a draw. Yeah, it's just one of them things, and it's that thing of the one, like WCW never utilized Nash and Hall as those kind of, to get to Hogan you gotta go through these guys.
Yeah, the standard, like, how you book challenging the big heel champion. Big heel.
And so that's why you never got the Sting Nash. You never got Macho yeah. Nash.
Because the problem with doing it the classic way is that would mean that Nash and Hall would have to willingly lose a lot.
Which wasn't going to happen, obviously.
No. But I am an advocate for the throwing the baby, like, you know, throwing the baby out with the bathwater and trying a new way to approach mm-hmm. those kind of things, because like I feel sometimes the having to go through X, Y, and Z to get to your final destination can get a bit tiring. Like, I know people complained in the last year or so that was kind of like a couple of MJF feuds back to back where like you have to go through, you know, you have to answer me these questions
that's his go-to obstacles. Yeah.
And I think it's unfair on MJF. I think it's more of like it's a Tony mm-hmm. crutch, because he's used it for like he's done yeah. it for Jericho, he's done it for in a bunch of different scenarios. Like they literally just did it with Jericho yeah. and Starks. But yeah, like if you're just trying to be inventive and do a different way of getting to the big heel, fair enough. But like we said, this is blatantly, it's just like, no, the other two heels
they don't want to lose. So let's fill the group with as many people as possible so we don't have to lose.
Yeah. Yeah. How dare I backhandedly accuse WCW of being creative? but yeah, that's the sitch for the pay-per-view main event. But Tenay tries to throw to Larry. He's off to accept his kudos. And then we see what infamous week in World Championship Wrestling it is. Now, we will talk about it later. We won't unpack it now. But Lee, it's Hummer time.
It is.
This week, I asked popular AI chatbot ChatGPT, who drove the Hummer, and they couldn't answer me. So it stumped the combined knowledge of all humanity this week, I'm sorry to say, and we're just going to have to solve it later on. But yes, it is Hummer time, one of the most infamous WCW angles of all time. Like, one of the many, many, like, shortcuts to make a punchline about bad WCW that exist. It's yeah, it's quite something.
If
but we'll
you
get
think
to it,
Vince
we'll
McMahon has a thing about vehicular assault, oh boy.
The only, I'll tell, this, like, 99 was the peak of vehicular assault in professional wrestling. And even just the second half, because you got this, and then you've got, like, Survivor Series in November with Austin. Yeah, it's a whole thing this year. One thing I do like, and I actually could have stood to see a lot more skits of, is this opening skit, which is Savage and the girls in their limo. And he basically 2 to 3 times on this show sees a large lumbering oaf and assumes it's Kevin Nash, and it's always Bryan Adams. Like, it's not, it would be a little bit funny if it was just he's paranoid, he's freaking out, and anybody that's tall. But the fact that it's Bryan Adams every time, I kind of popped
me. I got real fathered head vibes, you know, the Victor Meldrew.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Just, yeah, like you said, every time he sees a tall, kind of dirty blonde, long-haired man, he assumes it's Nash, and it just turns around, it's Bryan Adams.
And there's no attempt for him to try and, like, suss out whether it's him or not. It's like, no, it has. He's, like, so cocksure of himself and just jumps the fucker. The thing I liked about this as well is, like, such lazy WCW, like, in terms of whoever they had that was scouting locations, like, they got Bryan Adams to park his rental car on the curb by itself outside the building. So, like, it's just, like, you can see the bollards up where, like, you know, you're not supposed to drive through, and he's just parked there beside it. It's so lazy. Like, you couldn't even do, like, when the red and white, when the Dodge Viper...
the H. Hogan.
Tried to... Yeah, the H. Hogan. The H. Hogan incident. Like, even they did it in, like, the parking lot out the back. Now, it was suspicious that it was in broad daylight hours previously, and somehow there was conveniently fans standing there. But, like, still, that was significantly more effort than
this.
Do you
not think that when you're Bryan Adams, you can park wherever you want?
No, I think when you're Bryan Adams, it's not that you can park wherever you want. I think it's that you do park wherever you want. I imagine that man, like, has had more parking tickets than I've had hot dinners.
Do you think the artist formerly known as Crush has ever pulled it? Do you know who I am?
I think he definitely does a year from now, because when you drop the name Chronic, like, you know, the cops part like the Red Sea, they'll let him do what he wants. He's got carte blanche. So you might as well have diplomatic immunity at that stage, because Chronic are so over. We get a promo clip then for Sting versus Rick Steiner. This leads into another video for Macho versus Nash. Can you tell it's the go home show, guys? The thing about the Macho versus Nash feud is that, like, the video in this case zoomed in on, like, the, or focus, should I say, on, like, the lipstick
the sewage pipes. Concept of humiliating the other person. It wasn't so much that they hated each other, it was that they were trying to one-up each other.
Is it just me, or did focusing on that rather than any of the, like, you know, a pull apart or a fight or, like, a blood feud or anything like that, did it make it feel like a mid-card comedy feud?
I was just going to say, at no point do you get the feeling that Macho Man Randy Savage is one of the best wrestlers in the world. It's just, well, I'm going to target Kevin Nash. And that's his whole basis for this.
Yeah. That's it, just so we can all establish, note it down. How you become number one contender in WCW is to just repeatedly randomly attack the champion or hominids that look similar to him in car parks. Fake car parks, should I say. We've got Gene with Buff Bagwell. They mention here on commentary that just in an update, the latest attempt at figuring out what the power situation is in WCW. So Piper is now just acting commissioner. He was just commissioner, but now he's acting commissioner. I don't know who he's acting commissioner instead of. I got nothing.
Piper is also kind of a heel again, because he's taking the piss out of all the younger wrestlers now.
And he's got his, like, his talk show segment on Nitro. It's like the reality check. He's in that dumb fucking t-shirt he had. Piper has announced that it's going to be Buff versus Disco at the pay-per-view, and this has annoyed Buff considerably. He says he's been there 8 years and the company's had a thumb on his head, which I thought was a weird turn of phrase. He says he just beat Disco. He needs the chance. at the pay-per-view, not against someone like that. He wants to prove that he's like world title caliber. The Cat and Sonny Ono came out, and Cat says he wants the ball too. Oh, I did enjoy here. There was just like, sometimes the Cat has a very funny line. And in the middle of this, he calls Gene Okerlund bird legs. Which, like, properly, like, mystified Gene Okerlund. He just didn't know how to respond. And then, maybe my favorite line on the whole show, where, like, Buff looks him up, on up and down, and Stoneface says, "This ain't Taekwondo, brother."
So great. For all Buff's crying about getting opportunities, didn't he just wrestle for the US title on the last pay-per-view?
No, we're supposed to forget didn't that. Didn't he lose they did.
To the US champion?
He did, yes. He did decisively.
And then got fucked over by the signers repeatedly because he's a geek.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I know that and you know that. But I'll tell you what the whole world knows. Tomorrow, opening in cinemas, Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me. That absolutely dates it massively. I didn't realize how early the first, because that's the second Austin Powers movie.
International Man, like, of
the
Mystery.
The first one is Austin Powers International Mystery, yeah.
That had to be like 97 though, at the earliest.
It must have been, which, it was 97, yeah. But like, I didn't realize that long
they
ago.
They were all cash grabs after that.
Oh no, they were, but if you had asked me when the first one came out, I probably would have said 99. Like, it didn't feel like it was, like, that's a 25-year-old movie this year. That's wild.
Yeah, but I think if
mark it down, 25 years.
If you went back and watched it, I think it would feel very dated.
Oh, it incredibly does. What doesn't help it is that it was like, Austin Powers is parodying a genre which itself was dated. You know what I mean? Now, Will Ferrell, still incredibly funny with his broken legs at the end of the cliff. There are still, I think it was, it was during lockdown, because Patrick H. Willems on YouTube did a video essay about how he actually really likes the first two, at least, of the Austin Powers movie. And I watched them again, and I will say there are some good bits. But yeah, as a cohesive piece, not so great.
Yeah, watch people pick it for DOT at the movies.
Yeah. Do you know what? It'd actually be, compared to some of that absolute horse shit we've watched, I would watch Goldmember again sooner than I'd watch the Jesse Ventura story.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, definitely would.
Don't know.
Definitely. I don't think you remember how, I think maybe you've, like, put up blocks in your mind as to how bad the Jesse Ventura story was.
Oh no, it was bad.
Do you remember when they did, when Jesse did with Montreal?
Cheese head on his head.
Yeah. Fucking hell. We finally get our first match on the show, which is Conan and Ray versus Psicosis and Viano 5.
Hang on, was it Viano 4 or Viano 5?
It was Viano 5. Injured. I don't know. I have no idea. They appear once every 8 months on this show, Lee. How am I supposed to keep track of that shit?
You're hosting this prestigious show. You should know the difference between your Vianos.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Lee. It was definitely Viano 5 in this match.
How do you know it was 5?
And I know this because to start off my notes, I copy and paste from Cage Match so that I don't have to write in the full names of anybody. That's how I know. Otherwise, I would be in the dark. I will say, speaking of, Viano 5 and 4 being almost identical, let's talk about gear. I really liked Psicosis's gear.
Really?
Yeah, it was blue and red. It was just like a little...
No.
Did you know? I thought it was like a little bit different, a little bit more colourful, because he's usually in the like... fairly dark or muted colours, and it was just something a little bit bland.
I thought the blue just didn't work.
Did you? Because like, normally everybody now dresses in black and white on this fucking show, and I was like, yeah, a bit of colour. Yeah, fuck it. The jobbers, poor Psicosis and Viano, they only get half an entrance. It's not even a particularly long ramp, but they're only halfway down it before Conan and Ray's music starts. they mentioned on commentary that Rick screwed Benoit and Saturn out of the tag titles on Monday. We get Conan's usual promo. Ray does like a very awkward shout out to some record label. Absolute fucking crickets in response to that. I did like seeing Psychosis high five Viano. They start the match and they turn around and they high five each other. And I was like, is that not a legal tag? Referee's just not on his shit here. I would absolutely be making those men change.
I think we've established right at this point that WCW referees are the dumbest people in the world.
Oh, and we'll talk about a referee just fucking taking the law into his own hands later on. But we get like some all right stuff at about half speed. Then Conan comes in on a hot tag. Conan whips Ray into a Rough Rider. I like that, the way they kind of like Conan slingshots Ray into his moves now. That's a cool part of their team.
Real low effort.
Yeah, but speaking of which, like, he does a little hot tag for 20 seconds, whips Ray into that Rough Rider, and he's already blown up and tags out. Larry Zbysko says possibly the most accurate thing he's ever said in his life: Ray is the one who can move. True facts. Viano crotches Ray, leaves him up on the ropes, and then this Psychosis hits maybe the sickest move in this whole show, which is like off the top rope, hits a spinning wheel kick to the back of Ray's head. He's not even able to brace for it. And like, while all this is happening and they're setting up Ray for all these moves, I'm thinking like, where the shit is Conan? Like, is Conan like in an iron lung outside the ring because of his 20 seconds of action? He definitely missed his cue though. Did you notice this?
Not that I recall.
So like, they hit him with some sort, I can't remember what move it is. They basically hit him to the point where like, Ray's not kicking out here. And he has to, clearly it was going to be a broken pin, and Ray has to kick out at 2.9 and then slowly get up and start his own comeback
instead of Conan being there,
you know, being saved and firing up. So it's pretty awkward because I think they lose place of where they are. Now, I will say, really cool move here at the end. Ray uses Conan as a pommel horse and somersaults over him into a Hurricane Rana. That fucking rocked. And that is pretty much optimal use of Conan as a prop in your parkour. Then we get a springboard Hurricane Rana from Ray for the win. Not nearly up to the standard that we would expect from two of these four guys, but, you know, it was got entrances, finishers, and pops, which is all this crowd wanted, and it's more than we get sometimes.
It's very much Conan dragging Ray down to his level, unfortunately.
Yeah. Aviano was no great shakes either for all the fucking 5 seconds I can remember of him.
I mean, your hatred of Aviano's is just, I can't get over this.
Is that a bit?
I mean, look, you refuse to differentiate between them. You say they all look the same.
Well, that's kind of the gimmick, like, is that they look the same.
You have to defend yourself on this.
What are you doing here?
What's just pointing game? Out that, you know, your lack of...
You're inspiring, you are. This is, you appear on one other podcast and then you're just trying to fucking put me in the grave and move on to your new showbiz game show lifestyle. You want to be the guy like who's, you know, always on Hollywood Squares. You want to always be on Five Star Match Game. You're too big for us now. Listen,
if people want to do their homework and go back through the records, they will see that this is not a one-off. This is not something new.
It almost certainly is, but then also at the same time, their appearances are so deliberately not memorable on Thunder that I couldn't categorically say to you I've ever spoken out loud about the Vianos.
You can try to defend yourself in any way.
Apart from I remember there was one, was it Goldberg killed both of them? I remember there was one squash match where both Vianos were killed, and we thought
excuse
it was, like,
me, sir, there are
match.
Five Vianos, hence.
Yes, but we've prominently only seen, I think, three. I feel like we've seen 3, 4, and 5 over the course of Thunder. Definitely 4 and 5.
See, you can't even say for sure what you've seen. Just shocking. Shocking. Call yourself a journalist.
No, I don't. What do you think? Are you trying to Ariel Hawani me now, are you? Is that what you're trying to do? Well, I'll respond to this if you tune in live on SmackDown on Friday.
What was a combat sports expert or whatever it was?
Oh, asking the hard questions. Ah, fuck that guy. Promo graphic for Rap versus Crap. That feud is continuing apace, but like 80% of that has all happened on Nitro, so we only hear the commentators go, "Hey, we're still feuding."
I mean, does Bobby Duncombe Jr. deserve any more than that?
No. No. Hey, look, don't be disparaging Big Bob Cum on my show, friend. Gene is here at what he describes as a very odd turn of phrase again from Gene. The shank of the evening. The Jersey Triad come out.
I was going to say, minus the third person.
Yeah, he's introducing it like all three of them are going to come out, and then there's just no Bam Bam to be found. In what I'm learning now is massive gimmick infringement from one Maxwell Jacob Friedman. They refer to Bam Bam as Triple B, which I do not like, either to refer to the belt or to Bam Bam Bigelow. Triple B is weird. So DDP says, the great thing about the triad is you don't know who you're going to get each time. He calls Nash Fabio, which I did get a big laugh at calling him Fabio. And he says that anyone in this business that goes around calling Kevin Nash big, sexy,
he's not wrong.
Stupid. No, he's not. And the best is Gene is personally offended because he likes calling him big, sexy. Because he's a delusional heel now, he outright denies that he ever lost to Nash. The fans are telling him he sucks. And they said if Benoit and Saturn want it, they'll see him on Sunday.
I think the fans are into this DDP heel turn. Like after the kind of is he a heel, is he not a heel, he's still kind of a face world title run. The fact that he's now just a full blown heel, the fans seem into it.
Yeah, he's definitely over as a heel now.
And plus he's aligned with two scumbags.
Yeah, absolutely is. We then get Macho jumping Adams, or nearly jumping Bryan Adams again, and then challenges him for tonight. Oh my god. Okay. Here it is. We are going to get to the Hummer angle now. So this is our flashback to the Hummer. But it's in video package form. Now, I remember with crystal clear clarity the Hummer hitting the limo. What I do not remember is an earlier segment on this show where an attack happens at the hands of what I can only describe as a stealth contortionist. They don't show the full context of the angle, and I'm kind of afraid that looking it up would make it less funny. But is it Nash comes out with a duffel bag? Or like a gym bag, large gym bag, out to the ring. And it gets placed on a chair in the ring. And somehow Nash is then back outside the ring. Savage has his back to the bag. The bag opens and a contortionist who kind of looks like Kathy Griffin emerges from it and creates a distraction.
I mean, all I can think is we know where they got the plot for Ocean's 12 from.
Yeah. I guess stealth contortionist is a big thing in 1999. And yes, then we get this infamous angle. Do you remember the Hummer thing happening at the time?
Yes.
Okay, let's hand over to you then, because I've been talking for a while.
Oh, I mean, like you said it up at the top of the show, like you want to talk about infamous WCW angles. This is an angle that never fully gets paid off, but yet they hint to for what seems like months on end. I think at some point at least 5 different people show up on the show driving a Y Hummer. I very much was anticipating this because I like this Nash Savage feud spins off into Sid's debut. I knew the Hummer was another part of it. And yeah, I love this. I kind of love that they never gave a definitive answer.
Yeah. When does Sid?
I don't even think it's anytime soon, is it?
Exactly.
I think we did this on the show already, and
I know roughly. I know when a couple of people return. I'm trying to look at his career here. Online, yeah, I have no definitive timeline because he's not in WWE anymore.
He only did a couple of shots in ECW.
Yeah, in January. Okay, he had matches with. Wait Promise. For this.
Yeah.
Yes. The Dudley Boys, Cronus, Skull Von Crush. And just incredible. So he's gone now from ECW. He left last month. Oh my god!
Is it the Nitro after the pay per view?
No, it's the pay per view. Okay. Yep. Okay, so we are literally on the eve of Sid Vicious returning, which I'm like, I've been looking forward to it for so long. Yeah, look. We've talked about it before.
Mm-hmm.
Sid is Sid. By a lot of metrics, he's awful.
But then,
and he's always been
then
awful.
Then again, he's Sid.
Right. But then, something about him.
Oh, Sid rules.
Sid fucking rocks.
He's cut the same promo for like 10 years. And it's still like, good.
Yeah, way before there was incoherent Steiner math promos and TNA, this was the originator. This was the guy that, like, it wasn't even in the way that, like, I know Warrior is notorious for, like, the rambling, meandering promos that don't really mean anything. No, like, Sid is the progenitor of the genre of promo where he seems to genuinely confuse himself and get annoyed with himself as he's talking. That Scott Steiner would later go on to make into an art form. So I'm very happy to hear Sid's coming back, even if that also means we have to watch Sid wrestle in matches that aren't squashes sometimes.
But to get back to the main point, the Hummer.
Yes, there's a Hummer.
So this is the first appearance of the Hummer.
Mm-hmm.
It will not be the last. No,
not even close to the last. No. The Hummer would reappear. I don't want people to misinterpret this, right? It's not like there's one long continuous Hummer angle. This company would forget about the Hummer thing time and time again, and then just, I think every time they wrote themselves into a corner, would dig up the fucking Hummer.
And I think there was a black Hummer at one stage.
There was,
because I think
black
they
Hummer
faced off, like Hummer versus Hummer. At one, like, a standoff.
Fucking Mexican standoff with Hummers. I fucking love this company so much. And then, yeah, like, as ChatGPT pointed out to me when I asked, nobody knows who it was supposed to be. And we never find out. But there were multiple rumors of it being, I think, like, the one that I think always made the most sense, considering like he was under contract, was Scott Hall. But like there was
1999.
Yeah, there was rumors. But this is the thing: is like he was. I would not be shocked if they were doing it because like they were doing
drunk.
Scott Hall's drunk angle on TV while he was actually getting DUIs. So like it would not surprise me if they were that insensitive. But one of the other rumors was Sean.
And look. I know 1999 Shawn Michaels is not Shawn Michaels post 1999. Like he's not the beloved figure he would become and the all-time, considered the all-time great wrestler that he is now.
This is the lowest ebb because he has not had the redemption arc.
Yeah.
This is like broken back, strung out. Fucking everyone thinks he's a
cutting
tit.
Rambling promos on Raw.
Yeah.
But can you imagine you get Shawn Michaels and debut him as the driver of Hummer?
Yeah. Oh, look, it'd be a big get, but I just don't think there was any chance at this point in 99. I don't think they had the juice to get a deal like that done.
I mean, if there was ever a time he was going to get fired, it was 99.
There's a lot of times where he could have got fired, but I guess, yeah, in 99 he's no longer
in the ring. What was it? It was 2001 where him and Triple H fell out? Or 2000,
because he comes, one of the big incidents in them falling out was when he came back for Judgment Day and he was out of his fucking mind for that Iron Man match. And there was a time after that where he was going to make an appearance and they didn't even send him out.
Judgment Day, I thought it was an appearance after that where they didn't even put him on TV. He showed up and they were just like, you're not conditioned to perform.
That was the final straw. There was like a post pay. I don't know if it was directly post or when it was, but it was in the wake of that where he was coming in again.
I think Triple H saw him backstage. He was like, no, you're a fucking mess.
But this is all to say that, like, do you think they're ever, like, I feel like this was a WCW thing where they just did the angle, let's figure it out 100%. Later. I don't think there was ever a this is who it's going to be.
If I remember correctly, they infer very heavily that it was Sid on Nitro. Or even at the pay-per-view. Like, I'm trying to remember back, but I remember the inference being, oh yeah, it was Sid because him and Savage are in cahoots for the next 2 weeks or whatever it may be.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're going to be hearing a lot of Hummer chat on this show going forward. I just want everybody to be ready
for
that.
I think we forget this.
What the actual angle was?
There's people listening to this show that may not actually know what a Hummer is.
Yes. So like a large gas guzzling
if you've ever seen the Canyonero episode of The Simpsons. It's a real life Canyonero. Yeah. Two lanes wide.
Yeah.
Wow, fuck.
64 tons of American pride. Canyonero.
Yeah, I think it was made famous by Arnold. Wasn't Arnold owned one?
Yeah. Yeah, because there's a Canyonero gag with Rainier Wolfcastle in a later episode.
I think they were a legit military vehicle at one point.
Yeah, I mean, they're the specs of a military vehicle for sure, yeah. But yeah, so what actually happens in the angle is that Savage lures Nash into the limo.
How dumb babyface Kevin Nash to get lured into a limo by the three women of his main rival?
Yeah, and then like the thing that's funny is like them doing the who could possibly drive the Hummer, where if you just watch the... If you watch the angle without hearing the commentator speculate, like my brain goes, oh, it's Savage. Is like, because Savage like is there when the girls get out and then he runs off screen and then the Hummer comes in. So like the inference there is that like just Savage got in the Hummer and he like while Nash is trapped in the limo, he rams into it. And this is very funny for two reasons. Because one, there's this dramatic photograph of Hanash hanging out the window. It's like one arm hanging out. Oh, poor me. And then immediately, like later on in this show, I think
Nash
get him on the phone. And he's like, Nash is in his NyQuil voice. And he had no cells, vehicular homicide. He goes, oh yeah, no, I was able to get to the other side of the car. I was like, I'm going to be fine. I'll be there Sunday. Got hit by a tank.
Do you think WCW should have done what Vince would do in 2002 with the NWO thing, where like it just cuts to Hulk Hogan in the daytime in the fucking driver's seat of a 40 foot going, "Yeah, brother."
Yeah. Yeah. Just cuts to Milhouse, Jiminy Jillikers. Right. Next up, it's Buff Bagwell versus the Cat with Sonny. Disco on commentary. Fuck me. Now, as much as I wrote, fuck me, because I was so annoyed that I was going to have to hear Disco during this match, during the entrances, he does call him Ernest the Shat Miller, which make me laugh.
I'm going to say, Disco was good on commentary. Because he was just taking
He was
this.
All right. Yeah. Cat comes out here. He's changed his gear a little bit. He's wearing a singlet. He's wearing a spare one of... Yeah, it's one of Horace Hogan's spares, it looks like. The Cat gets the heat, and it's some of the dullest heat you'll ever see. It was fucking lukewarm at best. I think this is the stage in Nick Patrick's mullet where people need to have an intervention with him. It is... It's more out of control than Randy Savage, I'll tell you that.
Is it Nick Patrick that needs the intervention or the mullet?
I mean, I need an intervention from, like, watching this show. Disco, as if, like, the Austin Powers thing didn't already date how old this show is, Disco makes, like, a pair of references here, back-to-back, that really show you how long ago this was. He references the martial art of Tai Bo.
The fitness craze.
Which is, like... It was one of the like it was the Eastern influenced fitness craze of the late 90s, and then he follows that up with a reference to fucking Braveheart. What are you doing? I think it was Braveheart was like 1995, wasn't it? So like it's a dated movie reference already in 99. Anyway, there's an interesting. Did you notice this? Like, because I am not paying attention to anything that happens in the ring during this match because it's outright bad. Did you notice the argument between Disco and Larry? That was quite like, if you want to sum up WCW in a nutshell, this discussion.
Yeah,
that goes
what's
back and
wasn't
forth,
just the whole thing
this?
Of Disco says the old guys on top are holding guys like him down, and Larry is like, ding, well, ding, all your generation are basically pieces of shit that don't deserve nothing.
Yeah, yeah. He said, Disco says, what the fans want to see is young guys stepping up and challenging the old veterans in WCW. And Larry just returns around and says, yeah, but no one wants to see that because all the old guys would beat up all of you.
Yeah. Like, just no sells it. Yeah, he's just like, fuck you and your generation.
No. Yeah. Good job, babyface Larry.
But hey, I was just going to say, at least we have some long-term storytelling when it comes to the New Blood versus the Millionaires Club.
It's true. Yeah. Oh, they're laying the seeds. Laying the seeds. Yeah. So, like I said, crowbar in the ring, not Devon Storm. Buff ducks, grabs it, clocks Sonny, and gets
DQ'd. Why was he DQ'd for him and Sonny?
Don't know. Maybe just the referee saw Sonny and was just so annoyed he rang the bell. Scott Norton is out. Kills the Cat. Stone.
Do you know what? This
dead.
Is a bit I can get behind.
Oh, yeah, it's like the thing where, you know, they do the thing, like if there was a bad match, they'd send Steve Austin there to everyone with a stunner. Just do it. Just have fucking Rick Steiner come out or Scott Norton come out. Just one of the grumbly old dads come out and just throw people around.
That would be a warning sign. You just see Scott Norton come out at the entrance and you all of a sudden get out of the rest hold quick.
Yeah. Disco hits the last dance and lays out Buff. Saturn and Benoit are with Gene Okerlund. I was aghast at Gene taking the handoff from commentary and calling Tanae Michael. Oh, that doesn't sit right with me. Benoit says he has no respect for Flair anymore. He called himself... I have developed such enjoyment of Benoit trying to sound tough but coming off like an idiot promos. Because he's like, payback is a bitch, and I'm the bitch from hell. Which, like, sounds like how he'd describe himself if he was a character on Dynasty.
What do you think of Saturn being back in his wrestling gear?
Yeah, I'm here for it, to be honest. It is kind of like a bit of a hit reset kind of thing. So in that way, I'm not a fan. But also, like, over, like, the kind of the fetish gear that they had really run out of steam with in a couple of weeks.
I do like that Saturn addressed the whole, I don't like you, but I don't have to like you to be your tag partner.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's, you know, it's kind of subverting the trope of, like, tag teams fighting each other, where it's like, we don't like each other, but that doesn't matter. Yeah. Saturn says, Paige, you can hit the reset button all you want, but I beat him. I beat you, and I will beat you again. And then you get forlorn ex-lover Dean Malenko.
Oh, I love this. Dean being an absolute prick, going, hey, Chris, remember that tag partner you had in the Horseman, Dean Malenko?
And then did you hear the other line that Gene hit him with? Because it's like a hard focus in on Dean Malenko's face. And Gene Okerlund goes, look at the visage of Dean Malenko.
Like you said.
The visage.
Dean like a disappointed da. Looking at Ben. What?
Yeah. No, I think forlorn ex-lover. That's what I think. He's seen him with the new, like, oh, he's here with stepdad.
So we're getting a tease of Malenko versus Benoit.
Yeah. Which, you know, I'm here for. Singles match up next, Brian Adams with Vincent versus Randy Savage with Gorgeous George, Medusa.
How about that big baby face NWO Brian Adams?
Yeah, I know. This match.
This kills the show.
Yeah, and me.
My big takeaway from this match, the fucking veins in Macho Man's head.
Yeah, he's... when you've got a vascular skull,
I mean,
it's trouble.
That dude was not looking healthy.
No, and look, we said it at the top of the show, but I just got to say it now again, because it is, like, this is the match so far in his comeback, and he's only had a few. Where it is, like, so evident that this guy is washed, Randy Savage. Now, look, he's in there with Brian Adams, and Brian Adams is Brian Adams. So it's not going to be a fucking, like, notebook special. But
Crush, or Macho Man couldn't get a good match out of Crush in, like, 93, 94. So getting one out in 99 isn't going to happen.
And here's the thing, like, even when, like, there's a bad match, and it's with a guy like Brian Adams, you can always tell when a good guy is in there with someone.
You can
like
work around them.
You can tell, look, they're trying to do their thing. Yeah, or they can make it passable, or you can at least see the effort they're trying to put in. But, like, Randy Savage has nothing left. Like, I would be shocked if he has anything resembling a very good match the entire rest of the time we see him in the company. And if he does, it will either be against a generational worker, or it will be a freak.
Like, you mean a generational worker like Sid?
Nothing.
No, look, the whole macho thing at the moment is it's pure smoke and mirrors involving the women.
Yeah. Because, it's the three women, it's the walk and brawls. Adams gorilla presses Savage on the rail. And
that was a nice throwback to their Crush Macho Man feud from 1994.
Mm. Yeah. Guillotines him on the ropes. This is the thing as well. Like, this match is going about 3 or 4 minutes, and I was like, Randy Savage is the number one contender, and he's going 50-50 with
Probably
Brian Adams.
Less than 50-50. Adams is getting the heat on him.
Yeah. Adams controls significant portions of this match. That is very fair. It goes way too long. Adams starts hulking up at one point. Medusa comes in and roundhouse kicks
him. I was just going to say, the pop when Adams goozles Medusa.
Yeah, not great. But I'll tell you what, Medusa, for not just like her athleticism, but also like the outfits she tends to wear as Savage's valet, she throws a very high roundhouse kick.
Yeah, I think a thing in 1999 is there's a lot of Medusa wardrobe malfunctions.
Yeah. She manages to avoid one on this occasion. But, just the flexibility and the, like, being in the tight outfit so it is logistically difficult to even try throw a roundhouse kick is impressive to me. Yeah, like you said, he goozles her. He tries to gorilla press, gets low blowed. Vincent gets up with a chair, distracts the ref, elbow drop and a win. Savage then takes out the entire B team. Like, he becomes, after this less than 50-50 match, then all of a sudden he becomes a killer and takes out the entire B team. And the women collectively take out
I did enjoy the post match. I thought the match itself sucked, but Savage just being on a fucking rampage and then the women going, yeah, let's fucking do that as well, and just being absolutely insane.
That's all it should have been. It should have been like, the segment should have been, it shouldn't have been a match. It should have been Savage comes out to do an interview, and then Adams comes out to with the B team to confront him because of like him attacking him twice backstage, and then brawl, and then it plays out, the end of it plays out just like this. And then you've done it, you've done in 90 seconds to 2 minutes what you, like, it took 10 plus minutes to do, and it would have been much more over. So yeah, Horace gets lipsticked and the ref gets pantsed. We move then into the mean guy match of the night, the Aaron Quinn special. WCW World Television title as Rick Steiner defends against Fit Finlay. And this was a classic. Two drunk uncles fucking battering each other for 5 minutes. Like, it wasn't fabulous by any stretch. It wasn't like the Meng Giant No Bumps match.
There's a gimmick I could get behind. Fabulous Fit Finlay.
Yeah, Fabulous Fit Finlay.
Did you notice on Rick's entrance the title belt he was carrying? Because it wasn't a world television title.
I did not notice at all.
It was the United States title that's currently held by his brother. And all I can imagine is he was just walking out of the locker room and grabbed a belt.
It's got the American flag on it, you fucking idiot. It's the only, like, I'd even forgive him, like, because the TV title and the tag titles kind of look similar. So if it was one of those, do you know the way they always have, well, I don't know if WCW did, but WWF used to have, like, they would have the belt that the guys would be able to bring out of the building and bring to, like, PR appearances.
The
and
TV the belt, yeah.
Shiny ones for TV. Yeah. So, like, I'd understand if he, like, just took one glance at the tag belt and accidentally took it, but the fucking
totally
US
different shape,
belt,
like,
lads. Come on. How did I not clock that? I feel embarrassed now.
I absolutely think that he was just in the locker room with Scott. It was like, oh, shit, I'm getting called. And because they were tag champs so often... Yeah. I'm guessing he thought, well, it doesn't matter, I can just pick up this belt. And just picked up fucking the US title.
Do you know what I thought? Fit Finlay had my favourite moment of
his
this
career.
Whole run so far. Yes. So Fit Finlay came out before his music cue.
Yes, because I thought he was another guy with no music.
Yeah, so he came out. And he realizes his music hasn't started. And he turns his head slightly and glowers at the screen. And his music immediately starts. He did a mean guy face and it made the music start. I loved it. And if that was like, I know this was just a WCW fuck up, but that would be a great bit for a guy to
he
have.
He makes his entrance and then stops, like, and glowers at the sound guy.
Yeah, and it changes the music. It'd be great. Tanay reminds us, and this is, I'll tell you how the not so mighty have fallen. 1 year ago, Fit Finlay was TV champion. Rick Steiner looks fucking pissed that he was booked tonight. He says that Sunday Sting will have to bring Luger, bring his bat. Bring it all, because him and Scott are going to be on him like wild dogs.
It's Rick versus Sting at the pay-per-view, yes?
Well, Lee, it's a pay-per-view go-home show, so you're going to have to figure that out for yourself later. Tanay mentions Tank Abbott being the ref in the cage and attacking Sting in a swerve last week. There is a very brave man on the hard cam with a Jericho is Raw sign a month or so before he debuts. Basically, this is exactly the match you think plays out. They're just like smashing each other. Rick pulls up the mat and Bulldog's fit, which Finley just almost completely no-sells. Finley goes into the ring post and Rick, there is no better word, and I would have to put the intense extra bit of Irish accent on this word, he fucking clatters him with a clothesline. He fucking clotheslines Fit Finley in the ear with a Steiner line. Then hits the Steiner Bulldog and that awful submission that doesn't even look like it would stretch out your sore back.
I hate that submission.
I really hate it. It's terrible. It doesn't look like it completely breaks suspension of discipline.
And I get it. He's trying to have a submission like his brother.
Yeah. I had written this next bit down as a note, and I'm assuming now, with us looking this up over the course of the show, I know who it's referring to. Tonight talks about how there's scoops on the hotline about a new arrival to WCW. So I'm assuming they're dropping hints like fuck on the hotline that it's going to be Sid. But of course, because it's the hotline, it will take them 20 minutes to say it and they won't actually say it.
Could be Brad Armstrong.
Could be. God damn, the Armstrong curse, man. Then we get NyQuil Nash on the phone.
It's a fucking awful segment.
Is so bad. Like, this is like he's just woken up from his nap, or
he's fucking drunk backstage.
Well, actually, no, it might be both. He might have just woken up wine drunk in the locker room. He says he has cracked ribs, he's beaten and bruised, but he'll be there in Baltimore. He says even at 90%, he has more than Savage can handle. He said, I'm icing my wounds down with some cold beverages, which I thought was a good line. He says, oh, I was just doing pranks, but then Savage took this to another level. He's been analysing this. So Tanay, like, keeps asking him, like, do you have any idea who...
Who was driving the Homer?
Like, who was driving the Homer? He says, I've been analysing the tape, and he has the Homer driver to worry about, too. He says, all he saw were headlights, and he only had time to jump to the other side of the car. He said, it's weird that he named this, but he said, I saw rumours on the internet it was Scott Hall, and I haven't been able to get in touch with him for 3 days. So, like, already, like you said, even if at the pay-per-view, they are heavily inferring it's Sid. They've already cast out by saying it's Scott Hall on this show. He says he wants the elbow. So, if you remember, Savage's elbow has been banned, even though since it was banned, he's done it in every single match.
And Ric Flair is no longer in power.
And did he do one of them in front of Ric Flair? Yeah. So, Ric Flair is no longer in power.
But also, Ric Flair doesn't like Kevin Nash either.
But even though Ric Flair is in charge, but he's not in charge, and even though Roddy Piper isn't in charge, but now he's back in charge, but he's also the acting commissioner, Kevin Nash has the power to unban the elbow. So he's demanded that the elbow be unbanned on Sunday because he doesn't want to have Macho to have any excuses.
Don't forget,
when he
Kevin Nash has Eric Bischoff on the side, maybe.
He's also got the belt, and you know, as Backlash 2001 taught us, more power, more gold. Our main event, at least we thought so at the start of this match, it's Canyon versus Perry Saturn. Canyon comes out to talk. I did love there was a line here by Larry Zbysko, who is clearly just fucked off with the product at this point in time, where he's like, what the hell happened to shut up and wrestle? It's just like everyone's coming out here and talking. Saturn takes that in... It, on board that criticism because he just power walks out and just starts beating the bollocks off Canyon. It's great.
I was just going to say, every time Canyon has a singles match, I need to say this, I fucking love Canyon's music.
Canyon's so good. It's like Saturn's great. We've praised him nonstop, but like Canyon's great. Canyon's great as like the foil, the guy in the Jersey Triad who can just take beatings left, right, and center, and he's just like he's just the little brother of the two actual threats in the group. It's great. So they go up the ramp, suplex on the ramp, up to the stage and into like the metal sheets. Canyon, I love, there's like a little rail around the tubes on the Thunder stage, and he tries to hide behind one of these little rails to escape a beating. Doesn't work. Saturn throws him back down the ramp. Canyon tries to escape by getting into the ring. Great stuff. Jumps Saturn while he's getting in. Saturn ducks off the ropes, hits a punching combo, and Canyon's down straight away again. A throw, a 10 punch. Canyon's able to crotch him then on the top rope for the heat. Gouges the eyes. Suplex in from the apron for a two count. Crowd has been completely distracted by something going on the ramp. There's a lovely reversal into a neck breaker from Canyon. Then I hit, like, I thought this match was going, like, it's not a classic around it, but I thought it was a very entertaining little TV match, and it gets boring, Chance. I was like, lads, ye need to really have a think about your standards if you're coming to a Thunder show.
And you're calling this boring.
Yeah. Saturn makes a comeback with a couple of strikes and an overhead belly to belly. Hits his big splash. One of the best
splashes.
Did
like that he did the RVD. Shit, I hurt myself so I can't make the pin.
So Saturn is selling too, as you said. They go through a break and Canyon has a headlock, but Saturn gets out with a suplex. DDP then appears from nowhere off the top of the rope, diving clothesline for the DQ. And then we have a referee who...
It is Pee-wee. Yeah.
It's Pee-wee, isn't it? Who all of a sudden, he is the authority in WCW because they're brawling for a couple of seconds and then he starts making a belt gesture. I was like, what the hell is going on? The bell rings. Now we have a match for the world tag team titles. So he's just making matches on the fly here. So now our actual main event, Lee, WCW World Tag Team title match, DDP and Canyon, the champions, versus Chris Benoit and Perry Saturn. What the fuck?
Why?
Like, the thing was, right, so because, like I said, I copy the who's in the match to make, like, the bullet points for my notes, and then I flesh it out as we jump from match to match. So I knew the tag match was happening, but, like, as it got closer and closer, like, we're, like, 6.5 minutes from the end of the show when the DQ happens, and I was just like, is it a dark match and I just copied it wrong? Did someone in Cage Match fuck up the match listing? What the fuck is happening here? So when this happens, I was incensed. I couldn't believe, like, it just made it so WCW. It just made no fucking, like, why not just have the tag match? Why not just have the tag match? Set up the tag match earlier in the show. You could actually build to a rating.
Considering early on the show, they said, oh yeah, at the Bash, it's going to be Triad versus Saturn and Benoit. So they're just giving away a pay-per-view match.
So either build to the match, like, because we all know they're more than willing to sacrifice a pay-per-view buy rate to pop a rating on TV. So either build to the match in the second hour and give people a chance to, like, call around their mates and go, oh, fucking World Tag Team title match in the main event. Or, like you said, just do the singles match and do the fucking tag match and the title switch at the fucking pay-per-view. Anyway, the Jersey Boys corner Saturn, they're cutting them off for a long time. People were really annoyed with the brawl and then the indecisiveness and not realizing what was going on. So the ring had been pelted in garbage in between the DQ and the start of the tag match. By gum, it's been a while since we've seen guys wrestling garbage on WCW. We've seen people wrestle like garbage, just not in garbage for a while. Saturn does the thing where, like, no matter what they're doing, Tumby keeps kicking out. And Canyon tries to pick him up for a flatliner, but he's just dead weighting him. And then Saturn hits an exploder out of nowhere. Canyon is... I did like this bit where he hits the suplex and Canyon is so dazed by one suplex that he starts going to the wrong corner to tag out, which I thought was good. Benoit hot tag. He starts throwing Canyon around. Malenko has appeared and he's outside staring down Arn's
Canadian tuxedo. Arn has made... From what I can gather, we don't actually see this. Arn was making his way to ringside with the tire iron to help the triad. And Malenko kind of stared him down and walked him off.
Yeah, and again, we need to point out, Arn Anderson was wearing jeans.
Yeah, it's a very Arn look for 1999.
It's a tremendous Arn look. It's one of the top ones. So yeah, he's staring him down, and then we cut back to the ring where we see Chris Benoit hit a diving headbutt, and we've got new fucking champions. And that's not even the most bizarre thing that happens in the stretch of about 3 minutes, because after we have this dramatic title switch and we do the, like, we're out of time. Lee, do you want to describe what we saw next happen on television? Because I had to check there wasn't a monoxide leak in my house when I saw this.
The show closes with Mike Tenay advertising the Chimp Channel, and we proceed to get Mike Tenay and Larry Zbysko at the announce desk as chimps.
Lee, this is one of those things where, one, I have no memory of ever seeing this before, and two, how is this not one of the things people bring up all the time?
How have I not seen this before? Why is this not a thing online?
Yeah. I can't, like, I'm... I'm not sure I saw it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sure it actually happened, or the two of us just have a shared delusion, like, at this stage.
WCW put this on TV.
They sure did. Oh, I'm trying to see if I can find, like, the video somewhere.
Okay.
Great. Yes, I found it on YouTube. I'll be posting that on the Thunder Twitter this week. Yeah, that's fuck. Yeah. And that is, like, the Chimp Larry and the Chimp Mike are how we sign off for Great American Bash 99. Yeah,
that's your big go home. Advertising the pay-per-view.
Instead of you better advertising the Chimp Channel.
Chimp Tanae and Chimp Zbysko.
What a fucking company. I love it. I love it so much. Alright, I'm going to wrap up this Thunder, and then what we got to do after that. So, firstly, that's Thunder 66 in the books. Your overall thoughts on the show? Who are your winners and losers, boy?
I didn't think it was a bad show. I think the Macho match really dragged the arse out of things. Buffin the Cat was just what you'd expect from Buffin the Cat. Like, the Savage Bryan Adams skits, I got a good bit of enjoyment out of. I mean, the Homer is the Homer. I'm fucking excited for that. Look, I thought it was I had issues with the show. I didn't hate the show. I think that's the best way I can say it. It had many, many issues, but I didn't dislike it.
Yeah, it was like, it was watchable, wasn't it? It was like, it was inessential.
There was continuity there from the previous weeks. And that's all we can ask for sometimes.
Yeah. I gotta say, this won't be the last one of these, by the way, the Chimp Channel skits. I'm just looking at, like, various news articles from 1999 here. It would appear that Thunder is the lead-in for the Chimp Channel until December, which is when, you might recall, Thunder gets moved to Wednesdays in December. So it's announced in December 99 that it's shifting to Wednesdays, and that's when the Chimp Channel is cancelled. I have some very, like, I don't know how I feel that a show called the Chimp Channel, if it is just skits like that, managed to somehow last 6 months. I have a lot of questions about the American public. Man. In 1999. Yeah, man, it was really a different time. Did we hit your winners and losers there? As I was just reading Chimp Channel stuff.
I mean, I don't know. The fucking Saturn and Benoit, they won the World Tag Team titles. I don't know.
What do you want?
Like, there was no very obvious losers on the show. I don't know, there was nothing horrendous on the show that I really want to point to.
Yeah, there was nothing, it was all, there was kind of like a base level of stuff that was kind of disappointing, or, I mean, the real winner is the Hummer.
Is us,
like, this
us
is
the
like,
fans for the Hummer Hummers are basically arriving.
Hummers are basically getting free advertisement on Turner for the next 2 years, so Hummers are really winning here. Our finish counter, brought to you by Ludwig Borger, gives us 6 matches with 3 clean finishes, 2 DQs, and 1 interference leading directly to a finish. Now, Lee, it's the go-home. Great American Bash 1999 is our next free show on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. And as is customary with every pay-per-view, I ask you to name every match. All you know, you haven't looked this up, all you know is the build you've been watching on the Thunders between the last 2 pay-per-views. So now you are going to, of course, because of how great WCW is at storytelling, you are going to be able to recite for me all nine matches that occur at Great American Bash 1999. Have you met this company, sir?
At least it's not 13 or fucking 18 or whatever. It'll get ridiculous in Russo era. Okay, so nine matches.
Yeah.
Okay, world title.
Uh-huh. I will say, do you want to... Here's something we could try and add in as part of the guesswork, just to warm you up. Do you want to guess how long the longest match on this show is?
14 minutes.
19 oh, minutes, 13 seconds. I will say to you, it will relieve you to know that that match okay. is so that, a good one. Or at least that, it's featuring Triad good people, so it's...
Benoit and Saturn. Okay. One match. Yes. Okay, so world title match versus Savage. Rick Steiner Two. Versus Sting.
Three. Do you want to guess what the stip on that
Rick
one is?
Rick Steiner versus Sting is the stip. no.
It's not a no match. It's a Lord. False count anywhere match. Hope you like walking brawls, okay. buddy.
Disco versus Buff. Yes. I don't like the way you had That's to look four. And see if that was actually on the card after the advertising.
Sorry, because you'd actually done the top three matches, and then you...
Okay.
It's way back earlier in the show than that one.
Rap versus Crap.
Yes, No Limit Soldiers versus the West Texas the Rednecks. No Limit Soldiers.
Okay.
So that's five.
So.
Four matches left. There is one you will be annoyed that you didn't remember. There are two that are just throw two fucking darts at a board. And then there's another one that you'll kick yourself if you don't remember. So it's split between two random matches and two actual were built to some extent matches.
Let me think. Does Scott Steiner have a match on this show?
He does not.
There goes the US title.
There are no more title matches on this show.
And there's nine matches.
Yes. Will I give... Yeah, only two titles are defended on this show.
Hugh Morris.
Yeah.
So his feud with the Cruiserweights is dead.
Well, I don't know.
Scott Norton versus Ernest Miller. That's
dope.
That's two featured fucking feuds over the past 2 weeks.
You got one of those wrestlers right.
Ernest Miller? So, hang on. He has a match on the pay-per-view. Not against...
And it's not against the guy he's shooting with, no.
Ernest Miller versus Billy Kidman.
Nope.
Is it some random babyface?
No, it's somebody who's sort of aligned with Norton.
Oh my it god! Is Horace Hogan. Oh man, that has to be a contender for worst match.
Yeah. I'll be sending this card and circling that to Aaron.
Roddy Piper Strasser. Versus Ric Flair.
Yes, that's one of the ones
for control of WCW again.
Yes, I guess. Although that is not listed in the stips here on Wikipedia, which makes me think that they forgot about that stip.
Well, I should say
would be very funny
for the next Thunder is Ric Flair and Roddy Piper walking out together.
Grand.
If you want to know the consequences of this pay per view.
Will I tell you one thing that will at least make you a little bit relieved about that Ric Flair Roddy Piper match? It's only 8 minutes long. This is not too bad. Like, there's only three matches that go over 10 minutes, and two of the three are still less than 11 minutes.
Right. So there's one more featured feud I should know about, is there?
One more featured feud, which is the opener, and then one. I don't think you're going to get it, and I might have to give it to you.
One more featured feud.
I can give you the stip of the opener, but I think that will give it away. It is a hardcore match.
Is it Knobs and Bam Bam?
No, because Bam Bam's already wrestling. He's featured in a match tonight. He's not wrestling, but he's featured.
But Knobs is in a... Yeah. Not Knobs and Hack.
It is Knobs.
Okay.
It is Knobs and Hack, yeah. Yeah, and then the other one, will I just give it to you? To be fair, you got, I would say, 7.5. I had to guide you to Horace. But the other match, which I know you're going to be so thankful, is 8 minutes and 35 seconds of your life as Mikey Whipwreck wrestles Van Hammer.
Why?
Do you want to think about some of the names that aren't on this show? Booker T's not on this
champion.
Show, man.
You were champion.
Goldberg's not on this show. Scott Steiner's not on this show. I think maybe Goldberg's not, because I want to say maybe he's gone off to film Universal Soldier.
Why is
isn't that late 1999 Universal Soldier 2, the one he's
Mikey
in?
Whipwreck getting pay-per-view space in 1999.
Yeah. Yeah. So many good guys in this roster, man.
Hack versus Brian Knobs.
That's like the fourth longest match on the show as well. Knobs.
Ernest Miller versus Horace.
Yeah. Can I tell you, we're going to be very lucky if we get through the first 40 minutes of the pay-per-view, because the first three matches are Hack Brian Knobs, Van Hammer Mikey Whipwreck, and Buff Bagwell Disco
Inferno.
There's a very
real chance I don't watch this and just blag my way through.
I'm gonna make you watch it Clockwork Orange style, sir.
Horrendous.
Right. Okay. Nice. Yeah. All right. That's it. That's it for another episode of Days of Thunder. Thanks very much for tuning in, guys. The next free podcast in 2 weeks on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network will be our review of Great American Bash 1999. If you fancy a bit more of us talking about different things, not necessarily just WCW, you're going to want to sign up for the mere cost of 5 Europeans at alargemanappears.com, our Patreon, where we have all sorts of goodies, all sorts of mini-series. By the time this airs, there will be a brand new Grab Bag Radio, my end-of-month show, where I'll take questions, talk about what I've been watching lately, and anything else in the world of wrestling that comes off the top of my dome. So, in the meantime, thank you very much for listening. We shall talk to you again very soon. Goodbye. Thanks everyone for listening to another episode of Days of Thunder. Days of Thunder was produced by Lee Malone and edited by me, Dave Ryan. Keep up to date with the show and find all the ways to listen to us. You can follow us on Twitter at WCW Thunderpod or click the Linktree link in our Twitter bio or in the show notes. I am at The Day to Dave on Twitter and Lee is at Malone_713. Days of Thunder is a part of the Voices of Wrestling podcast network. Follow the VOW network anywhere good podcasts are sold for more fine podcasts than you can shake a stick at. Thanks. Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener, Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.